Ah, WCW, Onde os Meninos Grandes Yoham. Editor's note, where the big boys play.
I guess so. Oh no, I had a bit I was going to do, but I forgot to do it. I was going to translate all this into Brazilian Portuguese. Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrick Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it your problem. This week's esteemed victim slash guest is
I am silent,
the
and I would just
return.
like to say, bem-vindos a todos. Yeah, are we just so like, all right, you talk about, let's do the intro in Brazilian, which is like, first of all, I am on board for making this podcast as niche as possible. Like, no, this is no longer a wrestling podcast. This is no longer even just a like a queer focused wrestling podcast. This is very much a queer focused wrestling podcast for blue sky users.
Yeah, no, very much specifically. Look, that was part of the mission statement from episode one. I believe I said it. If all this ends up being four is Blue Sky, Wrestle Sky, that's fine. I'm calling that a super win. But yes, even more so, I've already begun outreach. I've been using Google Translate more than I ever thought possible this week. But to the four Brazilian people that followed the podcast, what Silence said, because I still haven't brought the Google Translate up. I refuse to do more work.
But
But
yeah,
welcome.
if this is your first time joining us, we are well, not we, Garrick and many esteemed homosexuals are watching through the Monday Night War between WCW and the WW and the then WWF, now WWE.
Yes, it's very important, especially internationally. You don't want to get sued. I feel at this point to say we because there's a you returning guest and lots of other. I've had a whole round of returning guests, and there's become a core group of you that just are the pay-per-view watch along party. And sure enough, I'd call that a we. I feel like I think I said it on the episode. But I feel like the AEW pay-per-view watch along we did last episode was like the employee party.
Right.
It's like I'm gonna get pizza and high fives and all that because I can't pay anybody.
Yeah.
Pizza, high fives. But yes, everything that Silence says continues to be correct. On that note, do you want to start with Nitro from November 20th of 1995 or
Ah,
Raw?
WCW, Onde os Meninos Grandes Yoham. Editor's note, where the
Oh.
big boys play.
Oh, I think I know what language the title of this episode is going to be in.
All right, so we are it is November 20th,
Nitro.
1995, and we've got the WCW Nitro intro coming in
Yes.
hot, the Peacock subtitles, and
Yeah.
the Eric Bischoff tries to claim that it will be a barn burner tonight, but NBC is certain that he says bun burner.
And we're starting off strong with questionable phrasing, and it's gonna hit again in about 2 minutes. But yes,
Yeah.
Peacock captioning it continues to be a treasure trove for this show. But yes, Nitro is live as live can get. There's a barn burner. We get Pepe. That again, that's part of the show. I don't care. Speaking of Mongo, though, Mongo and Pepe are on one tonight. I'm a simple girl. I love cow print. Comforting Moo is the Blue Sky handle. It's there. So I'm instantly sold, and you are well on your way to getting me Mongo pilled. But yeah, we're told that we're going to have the Super Bowl of Wrestling, Hogan versus Sting on Nitro. Sure. Bobby says he's rooting for Sting, and like everybody just kind of jumps back, like, the fuck? Like, because it's like, what, the baby face? But Bobby wishes, it's like, okay, guys, you should know this bit already. Bobby wishes bodily harm on Hogan. All is right with the world.
The most dedicated Hogan hater in the business.
Yeah, no, probably top 5 to 10 haters. Like, one of these days, we're gonna have to sit down and do that whole list.
Yeah. Now, to be fair to Bobby, he does maintain his heel commentator cred by also wishing that as soon as Sting beats Hogan, that he slips and falls and hits his head.
Yeah, on the steps. Yeah, exactly. They'll take them both off. This would be great. Ay, ay, ay. And on that note, craps. Scott Flash Norton. Eric lets us know he gets his name from arm wrestling, where he would flash you. And again, phrasing. I'm guessing meaning that he would beat you really fast, but I'm just imagining just two big guys sauntering up to the arm wrestling table.
We go, listen, that Norton, he's a big guy. I thought I had him, but then he pulled out his dick and I don't know what happened.
He whipped it right out and I was just mesmerized. Next thing you know, my arm's hitting the table. I don't know what was going on.
It's the vascularity.
The vascularity. Oh, yeah, but, you know, also steroids. Tenta pulls a Jaws and sneaks up on Norton. just goes for it. Starts up outside the ring. All this good stuff. Stinger splash in the corner. Eric tries to call it a shark splash, and nobody liked that.
No.
Bobby says if it had been a boot. Oh, my God. All right, so here's the fun, kids. This is where we really let it be known. What's going on here is I have notes that were taken an indeterminate amount of time ago the first time we tried to record this.
I have maybe been unable to make it to this recording session for over a month. And
oh, no, that's fine. These things happen. To keep it timely, you know, sometimes you can't make the dates. The recording date, the TV tapings, because you have softball. Rest in peace to Sid Udy. That'll let everyone know when this is going down. Mm-hmm. Apparently would famously just not show up to shit because he had better things to do, namely softball. So that you know, good for him. So that to be said, every once in a while I get hit a point in my notes where I'm like, what the fuck was I talking about? And I'm leaning into it because I think this is good and healthy. And we should all accept that sometimes shit happens. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. yeah. So Bobby said something to Mongo. I can't type. Fuck it. But I swear to God, I'm going to end this episode Mongo pilled. I've already noted it here. Like it's, and I think that continues.
Yeah. I mean, in my notes, like Mongo definitely was loving this match because Mongo, like all of us, loves big meaty men slapping meat.
He knows what he's about, son. And yes, he is. Yeah. He's absolutely into it, and so are we. And you know,
the I think what repulses so many people about Mongo is he is a hard reflection on what it would look like if you, a wrestling fan, were put up on that commentary. It turns out you don't have the repartee to hang with Bobby the Brain Heenan, but you know what? You're excited to be there, and you like it when the big men hit each other real hard.
Yeah, exactly. And in my case, you want a little tiny doggle, you know. So like,
who among us would not?
Yeah, exactly. Who's dressed in matching cow print? You know, he's got to look like his mama, and that's just how that is. So no, I think you've shit. You sunk my battleship, Silent. We'll say.
Okay. Wow. I was kind of expecting that to be more of like a long term thing. I didn't really think I would have it like. In the bag and my second episode ever.
It's going to keep happening. I'm just going to say, because I know that I took more than one note in here about how I like Mongo this episode. Mongo does a lot. I understand it. I understand it now. I get it now. Like the single tear rolling down.
The irresistible lure of a excited yokel.
He's a goddamn agent of chaos is what it is. that's where I've settled. He's just an agent of chaos because like He doesn't always make sense, but that's okay.
We'll know that I've truly won if you miss him being on the commentary booth once he starts becoming a wrestler, because that's also the point, coincidentally, where I will stop liking manga.
I think that's the point where everyone but Ric Flair stopped liking manga.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
And that's just because Ric Flair loves football. He's a simple piece of shit. So, yeah, I think you've already got me. This is an all right match, though. Talking about wrestlers no longer in WCW on the hotline. Mike Tenay he advertises it like a dirt sheet, almost. It's like, all right, that's one way. meanwhile, Norton gets a big old power slam for three. There we go. Yeah, Heenan says Norton's from a bad neighborhood. I ask him, hey, what comes at the end of a sentence? He says, parole. And I thought that was a really solid... write that one down. That's a good Heenan bit.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's classic Heenan. That's right up there with money doesn't buy happiness. Give me $50. Watch me smile. I need to learn how to make blue sky bots, because there's just thousands of them. But yeah, Bischoff lets us in on some insights. Again, memories watching Norton toss people out of a place called Grandma Bee's in Minneapolis. And I'm trying to continue this weird thing where I'm almost doing journalism. I did some homework. It was a saloon and grill, a franchise out of Duluth, Minnesota, operated for 27 years and sadly closed in 2007. This has been Minnesota Corner, don't you know? Nah, you know. You better call someone, you know. So that actually, he's not lying. I'm sure he's lying a little bit. but we get Guerrero Flair waved in front of us like a juicy steak.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah, and I was like, holy shit, was not expecting that. But first, the vegetables of Jimmy Hart and Taskmaster with Mean Gene.
Yeah.
rest in peace, I guess.
first of all, just the visual of realizing that Taskmaster is legitimately like 2 to 3 inches shorter than Jimmy Hart.
He's so goddamn tiny.
I don't know.
I've seen some of his earlier matches before he got all devilly, and like he's just like, he's a brick shithouse, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's tiny, but he's like stocky. But at this point, he just looks like an old dude telling you to get off his lawn, basically, with Amanda Palmer brows. And it's just like, okay, let's go.
It kind of feels like he's low-key sundowning during this promo too, because he's just sort of like wandering off, not really on target with any of what he's going on about.
Oh, like, no, I feel like maybe he's shaking off the Yeti. Like, that had to hurt, you know? Like, he tried something real good there and it just didn't go, and he's just like, I don't got the juice anymore.
Yeah, like, behind the scenes, like, there had to have been some sort of recognition of, like, hey, that was so bad that you probably are not going to have the book much longer.
But, yeah, you'd think so, and I guess that lights a fire under his ass, because, spoilers, he's actually responsible for a lot of the really good early NWO stuff.
Nice, so, okay.
I hate to say it, but I'm going to go ahead and forecast a possible Kevin Sullivan redemption arc as far as Booker, but it ain't yet.
I'm as far as Kevin Sullivan's booking, I'm excited for when we get to talk about him booking his own relationship falling apart.
It's going to get real wild there. I can't wait. Fucking Four Horsemen. Yes. It's whatever. Gene just calls him the two biggest pieces of human garbage or something at the end. And I was like, yeah, delightful. Delightful. Yes. Get their asses.
We get back to the commentary team right after that.
Yeah.
And I think we almost certainly have a note on the same line, right?
Disco fever.
No, not quite there. Right before that, in which Heenan gives his like opinion on what's going to be going on as far as Hogan not having any friends out there, because Hogan can't trust Randy Savage either. And Mongo's response to that was Bobby, your opinions are about like my feet. They both stink. To which I, it's just as a PSA, listeners, who I hope include Mongo and McMichael at this point, please just wash your feet. You know, you got to take care of them. Like, they support you, so you should support them.
Exactly. And if you can't do that, Fansly, just for fans, there's someone who's going to want to give you money. And that's cool. Lean into it. You know, I hate to say Mongo McMichael is not a listener at this point because he died recently.
What? Did I miss him pass? I thought he was, I knew he was in bad health.
I'm pretty sure Mongo died. I'm so, I'm gonna do this now. I'm so sorry to break it to you on this, the episode where I become pilled. But I think Mongo is joined with, I'm assuming, Pepe.
He is very much alive.
Fuck off. Oh my god. I could have swore to God I just read an article about how he died.
Mr. McMichael, I just want to apologize.
Mr. McMichael, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that shit. And I hope Pepe is alive and well in like 40.
Yeah. That, definitely that.
I am so sorry. This is not going to be the first time I assume you're dead. This and also all other former professional wrestlers, this is going to happen to you. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, is Marty Jannetty dead yet? I want to know how mean I can be to him whenever we get to his bit in Raw.
I think he's holding on. I would check Facebook, but I'm scared.
Right, Mr. McMichael, please just at least hang on longer than Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, I believe in you. You can do this. But, fucking A, on that note, Disco Fever. I was promised Eddie and Rick, and I'm simply fucking angry now.
Disco just coming out and trying to hawk his club mix.
Yeah, he has a CD. No, thank you.
Now, it's amazing to me that when Toru Yano does this, I'm delighted, and I love everything about it. And when Disco does this, I want to change the channel, a thing I can't do because I'm watching this on Peacock, the streaming service.
Yes, and doing me an amazing favor. thank you for getting through this. Thankfully, Latino Heat saves us, makes Disco flinch, which, again, just right into my veins. And woo, here comes Flair, 11 minutes into the show. Oh, no, he's in Dockers.
He is in Dockers. It does not bode well for this match happening as intended.
Feeling cheated. I'm feeling bamboozled.
Understandable. However, what if instead of being offered the fine steak dinner of a Ric Flair versus Eddie Guerrero, you were instead offered the delicious lobster dinner of Eddie Guerrero and pre-accident Brian Pillman?
That sounds like surf and turf. I could do that. Yeah. And so sure enough, I'm less mad. Rick insists he's got to focus on Stinger. sure. So Flying Brian takes care of his legwork. Yeah. I gotta hold down the jet. Fuck Ric Flair, but that is some heat. that was a great little man. Yeah, you go take care of this. I'm gonna go fucking drink. Still reeks of a banger. Absolutely. Pillman does a racism and waves his red jacket like a bullfighter, and I'm looking forward to Eddie fucking him up. which is bound to happen here. Eddie's on a roll.
It's been great. Like, you're starting to hear like the crowd getting more and more into Eddie as
they're really doing it. Yeah,
they're like, noticing that, like, okay, this guy, he does really cool stuff whenever he's out,
and like really well, and he's fun to watch, and like just so fucking good. This is definitely I believe the beginning of the really like oh he's over.
Yeah.
Okay, he's over.
But clearly, because Bobby Heenan was putting him over hard for the whole match.
Yeah, really hard. And I mean, why not? Mm-hmm. Mago says some incomprehensible shit about a number 9 can of something. This shit rules.
I have a note.
Just on God damn it, that fucks.
I have a note on a different Mongo line that is maybe also as impossible to understand from a little later in the match after Eddie's up on the ropes and and Brian's able to, like, knock him down, and you know, Eddie gets his downstairs spit smashed up on the ropes a bit, and then Mongo calls out, Mr. Guerrero might be parting his hair to go to the bathroom tomorrow after that one, and I do not know what the fuck that's supposed to mean.
What does that mean? Agent of Chaos! It doesn't, like, it's... I don't know, has he been hanging out with the Dream? Like, that's like Dust... That's Dusty Rhodes level of what the fuck are you saying? It's fantastic. And then all of a sudden, yes, I get it. Get it.
I would watch that show. just, yeah, Dusty Rhodes taking Mongo under his wing, trying to make him into a better commentator.
Holy hell. I mean, we get Dusty on Saturday nights, apparently. We found that out when we followed Jim Duggan to Ireland. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, that's where they're keeping Dusty. Excellent. Good to know.
Yeah. Well, they also card him out for pay-per-views.
Yeah, especially coming. They haven't been at first, but I believe coming up on this one is when they really start bringing him out. That maybe they just realize he's fucking gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, just let this guy talk and just look at him funny.
And definitely make sure he does a road or hog wild so that we can see what sort of outfit he puts together for
it. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm so looking forward to that. Yeah, I'm seeing all this. Yeah, these are good notes, whatever. It's an amazing goddamn fucking match.
Yeah, go watch this match for real.
Yeah, go watch this match. If you don't do, like, watch along with all of us, like, go watch this one. It's fucking beautiful. He hits a 5-star frog splash for the 3, and it's just... it's so good to see, like, the if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's just gonna keep being this good until he dies, basically. And it's just goddamn, and get better somehow. Beautiful match. Bischoff tells us again about Sting and Hogan. Blah blah blah. We go commercial. Blah. I think Mongo mooed. I think he mooed silent. I fucking died. Okay, this is from a Discordian. Like, I used to be into all weird, like, Chaos Made shit. This is great. You pilled me on him as an agent of Chaos. Because why is he just going to moo on his way out to commercial?
Listen,
this is weird cow.
Mongo there's no way that Mongo could have foreseen that mooing would be the perfect way to get a Blue Sky Trans girls on his side. But reaching out through time
with a very select bits of pornography and be like, hey, check this out. And he's like, I get it. Moo! Moo, Bobby! And yeah, oh my God. So yeah, they give us a long line of fans being weird. That's great. At one point, a kid decapitates a foam Hogan. if they want blood. These people in the crowd are probably now running for office, and I'm a little worried about democracy. I'm like, I'm doing the math. Like, how old is that kid now who just tore that fucker's head off?
Was that J.D. Vance? We don't know.
Well, he didn't fuck it afterwards. So Boss Man comes out. No, I skipped one. They gave us a previously out of Macho Man getting his arm fucked up. That's great. Eric starts sowing ideas of Macho turning on Hogan. But then Boss Man comes out after the kid fucked the foam hand. November 20th, 1995. Live Nitro at 24 minutes in. A balding white dude with a mustache and a Georgia sweater throws out a Heil Hitler with a full Roman salute on camera.
I missed this. Holy shit.
You missed that? Yeah. That is a thing that happened before disappearing into his seat again. And I fucking hate it here. I took the first time we tried to do this, I took a long break, smoked a bowl, cursed Nazis, and then came back. And ooh, what a rush. Hawk's here, and that's great. I feel a little better. But that was just, like, out of nowhere. 24 minutes in, it's on Peacock. It's there. Just a full-throated, and looks like the kind of guy who would be doing that in Georgia. You know, just in 1995. So, yeah. Chuds get the goozle. Hawk is here in Spikey. Hawk starts beating up the cop. I'm just feeling so good about this. This is better. Any like, ACAB includes Boss Man.
For real.
Yeah. But Bubba makes some wild noises for the back body drops and shit. That's great. He's selling for Hawk like he's terrified. And I'm like, yes, that's fair. Hawk is terrifying in all ways. Foreign object of some sort just falls out of his pocket at one point, and he picks it up and hides it again. And I just wrote down, I feel a finish coming. Something that's... in the wind shifted, and I have a notion.
Well, you know, whenever you've absorbed as much wrestling as we have, you really pick up on the ring psychology. You can start, you know, I don't even see the code anymore.
Yeah, no, I just see chairs set up and left out for Mark Briscoe to jump off of. I see Chekhov's table, you know, ones and zeros. If it gets set up, it's got to get hit, or we're disappointed. There's rules, there's patterns. So
did you notice the foreign object, or were you too busy staring at the stunt granny?
Yeah. Oh god, yeah, no, like Lawler at Puppies. Oh Jesus, we'll get there.
Christ. I have a single note for this match. It's nothing to do with the match. It is, like, once again, yet another manga line, which I wish somebody would jump up and give me some grapes. Knocked it out of the park, man. You are.
All right. So what you're going to do is you're going to pop that in Google Translate.
There we go.
You're going to send that to me, and that's the title of the episode. Oh, love you, Brazil. Lucha Livre. Welcome. Oh, my God, that's amazing. Yeah, no, I don't have... Here it is. Oh, I'm not even going to try to say this on a microphone. I don't want to get canceled this week. I'm having fun. Mm-hmm. I don't have much in here either, other than the bit where he dropped his gimmick. It's so fucking great. And he can't legally be Boss Man, so he has to wrestle in a suit. Just so fucking funny. It's kind of a banger, though, like, I guess, in that, like, late 80s, early 90s wrestling kind of way. Like, it's just... All right, they're out there, they're hitting hard, they're both WWE-ish guys. But yeah, blah, blah, blah. It goes where you think it's going to go. I do have Heenan doing a humanoid comment at one point, and wrote down, I want to add I identify as a humanoid, like, to my bio, and I'm just like, that's Bobby Heenan fan, humanoid. That'll work. And posthumously, we have a fandom name for Heenan X. Cripes. But overall, banger that fizzled, blah blah blah. Nexus Sting versus Hogan, blah blah blah.
I'm so excited that we got to see Sting versus Hogan in its entirety, with a clean finish, something that we'll never see again. And what's this? Sorry, no, that, none of that happened. I will. God, is it? I have notes, and I was like, maybe I should go over the notes. But, like, I think what's really stuck in my brain is, like, was this just a better match than, like, the big Hulk Hogan Sting match will be?
Oh, hands down.
It was.
No, it really, 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 really was. No, I think I wrote that down somewhere too, because, like, god damn it. Oh, we'll get there, kids. But yeah, this is not the first time this is going to be happening, but it's probably the better one.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
So we got Sting coming out wearing the red and yellow, which is like, there's this weird thing that keeps happening with these Hulk Hogan storylines, where it's like there's a core of an idea there that's interesting, but just there's no follow through on it usually.
No, because they get bored and they just stop.
Yeah. Eventually we will see the same idea carried through over in TNA with, like, the Joker Sting, where it's like, yeah, trying to reawaken the good in Hulk Hogan's heart. In here, though, they just kind of have a match that is better than I was expecting a match between the two of them to go.
Yeah, no, there was some legit bits, you know, and Tweener Hogan is still Tweener Hogan for, like, one more week.
Mm-hmm.
At least he's not Sephiroth monologuing this week, but he's still got the mask on and red cowboy boots.
Bischoff notably does say, we're going to see Hulk Hogan and Sting hooking it up live.
Yeah, and phrasing again. He's on one. Bischoff is on one this week. God damn. The pants say Giant Killer and Hulkster, and I'm like, weird choice, but he's still trying. It's really pretty fucking solid, though, and I hate giving it all of that. But you actually did kind of sum it up. It's a better match than should be.
I think I actually kind of popped whenever they did the suplex out on the apron.
I wrote that down too. Yeah, I wrote that when the suplex is the wrong way on the outside, and I was just flabbergasted that he would go for that. Mm-hmm. Like, holy shit, I can't believe he took that bump. Heenan's also on fire this match, though. He says that Randy Savage hasn't been to bed since 1963. And again, I need to make a goddamn bot. But I'm like, I don't doubt that. Like, that just sounds like Randy Savage facts.
Yeah, Randy Savage facts would be like the best.
Another one, yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit, like Chuck Norris with more processed meats. Sting and Hogan. Sting and Hogan trade various arm bars, blah blah blah, roll through, and I'm begrudgingly impressed. He does like the roll through arm bar like he probably would have in Japan, and I'm just like, all right, he's like making an effort here. Like, he's absolutely making an effort. He still hits the classics, but like,
is there a possibility that at this point he still wanted like to make Sting look good?
Maybe. Like, or maybe he's just like realized that no one is into what he's been doing. And he's like, I better work like it's Tokyo Dome, brother. You know, like, I better pull all the stops. We have to like actually work here. Because like, he pulls
saw the
out.
Kid. He saw the kid with the head off the phone backstage. Was like, oh, I got to do something.
I was like, that's not great. And then small JD Vance started fucking. He's like, brother, yeah, I got to do the roll through arm bar. He's fucking the head. Like, oh, God. So, like, again, running for vice president. There you go. You can't confirm or deny any of it. That's how it works now. So, yeah, he's doing the goddamn thing. He gets the crowd to pop for it. Okay, woo. But then Stinger gets the death lock on Hogan. Heenan sings Happy Trails.
Heenan became a little Stinger during this match.
That was the moment where Heenan finally became a little Stinger. Oh, wow. But he breaks out of it, blah, 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 does his Hulk up. It's like, all right, here we go. It's happening. You know, but he goes for the leg drop, and Sting moves. Because he's Sting. He's fucking Sting.
Not only does he go for the leg drop, he's still visibly selling the damage to his legs, even though he hulked up.
Yeah, even though he hulked up. So, like, he really is making him look good. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, this might, I don't know what happens in a couple years. We'll get there. But, like, yeah, this is begrudgingly good shit. This might be the last time Hulk Hogan, like, you know, worked.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm going to take note of this. This might have been Hulk Hogan's last match. You know?
No, that's the title of the episode. It's a very confusing title.
No, holy shit. We'll see what fits better.
Right.
Either way, Google Translate, baby. Welcome.
But so we are getting actually a really good match, and yeah, Sting gets out of the way of the leg drop, and then Sting slaps the Scorpion Deathlock back on. Hogan is hugging the referee, crying out to Macho Man, "He's gonna break my leg! He's gonna break my leg!"
Oh no. What do I do? That's amazing. Holy shit, you try saving him with a chair. That's what you do, you know?
But then, and this is, I don't understand the logic here of it genuinely. So I know obviously we can't have a clean finish for this.
Naturally, there's no way.
Right. But it's why is the moment? Why is the moment where the Dungeon of Doom chooses to rush the ring and try to beat everyone up the moment right where it looked like Hulk Hogan was going to lose to Sting?
I don't know. It almost seems like it's scripted. Like, that can't be what happened. Yeah, but here comes the Dungeon of Goon. Make sure he doesn't lose on TV. It's literally Taskmaster going, shit, fuck, it's in the contract. We gotta stop it. Like, just running out. We're gonna get fucking sued. Like, just anything to make sure he stops.
Well, what I have to imagine is backstage, Taskmaster was communing with, what's the name of the guy who's even above the Taskmaster in the Dungeon of Doom?
Father!
Father, yeah. So he's communing with Father up in the Tibetan mountains.
Or whatever.
Or whatever. And realizes that, like, wait a minute, in order to you have to be the one to defeat the White Tiger, Kevin. You can't let Sting do it.
That'd be messed up.
If that does it, we won't be able to harness Hulkamania. Sting will take the power of Hulkamania for himself, and we'll never be able to defeat him.
What would be the whole point of shaving his mustache? Like, what the fuck? It'd all be for naught.
And Sting doesn't have a mustache for us to shave, so you got to get out there and stop this match. Yeah.
I need my whiskers. Yes. Papa needs his whiskers. Let's go. Change it from Papa to Papa.
Papa needs his whiskers. Also a good potential. Yes.
Hold on. Wait, take note. Get loaded up for the Google Translate. Right. We'll see which one comes out best. Yeah, but they come together for a unity ticket with the steel chair, knock the giant out of the ring, we go commercial, blah, blah. The gooners lay siege to the commentary booth, which is kind of great.
And they fucking break Bobby's headset.
He looks scared. Yeah, his phones get busted. Bischoff is laying it on thick that you can't predict what's going to happen in WCW, and he looks scared too because Raw's live this week and it's a doozy.
And to be clear though, Mongo does just point at Bobby's broken headset and laugh at him.
Yeah, I'm pilled, fucking pilled silent. He got me. He fucking got me. And his little dog too. Fucker, yeah. So they promo World War III, Heenan needs insurance, Mongo's cackling, and I'm just like, okay, fine. He's just a trickster god at this point. It's, But yeah, that was a fucking solid Nitro.
Yes, yeah.
Very much so. And then, okay, Raw happened.
All right.
Any other thoughts on Nitro, or do we go into Raw?
Let's see, do I have anything else for Nitro? No, like, yeah, they were just typing up their next pay-per-view. And so we've got the opposite happening over on Raw as we're coming out of Survivor Series.
Available now on Patreon. Yeah, we get the recap to start off our Forceful Sports Entertainment. And letting us know, I guess it makes sense about the Encore on Tuesday. I forgot that was a thing. You get one more chance to buy it. Before you have to wait for it to get to VHS pretty much. And I was like, oh yeah, that was a thing, because they would like sell replays on a Tuesday. And I was like, yeah, so that makes sense why Raw, and this is like where this starts, basically. And I got my notes wrong. I did an accidental journalism again, but it's Raw live in Richmond this week. And, like, this is kind of why they're doing the thing where after they come back from a pay-per-view, they do a live Raw and then record for the next, like, however many weeks until the next one. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's going to be, like, a thing that I guess they're like, I think this is where they started, but this is the first time on our journey that they've actually been head-to-head. So, there you go. We can say it's officially started fucking 12 weeks into this shit. We're here.
The war is here.
The war is on. They're warring. And sure enough, Brett ended the Diesel experiment, finally. Ending the reign of the single worst drawing WWE champion ever.
I've seen some graphs. I've seen some figures from Mr. Nash. They do sort of suggest maybe an alternative view reading? Of events.
Oh, really? How did Kev book that?
If you've never seen it, Kevin Nash does. The thing of it is, I can't tell if this is just like him really trying to convince you, or if like he just knows that it's funny to try to act like he's trying to argue for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit, Big Kev. But either way, vindication for Bob Backlund's unhinged ass. And here we are. what the fuck? So, like, doing one live show, recording a bunch of other stuff. This is cool. Vince hypes Sean and Owen, which ought to be a banger. Jerry sells a headache from the previous night's tombstone, and right here, I invite him to cry about it. That was a good one. Yeah, like he really dropped her. This is back when like mean Mark Calloway didn't give a fuck and he just dropped people on their fucking heads. Like I've recently heard him talk about it in snippets of his podcast. Like Coco Beware, the first person he wrestled, like he just dropped Coco on his fucking head.
And I saw it.
Gave him shit for it. And it's like, dude, you threatened to kick his ass after you dropped him on his head.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a clip where he was being asked what his dream Survivor Series team would have been. And for the final slot, he ends up going with Coco Beware. It's just like, you know, just bring it full circle. I owe it to him.
Yeah, exactly. Let him brainbuster you right on your fucking dome, Mark. Like,
yep.
Yeah, Coco had a good brainbuster. Let's bring that around. God, what? Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I guess that sort of happened when Goldberg fucked up the jackhammer that one time and almost killed him. So, you know. Goes around, comes around. We get nice previously on for the Razor and Kid arc. God damn it. Vince says he takes Ted's dirty, stinky money.
My note on that is that Vince and Hogan are still spiritually linked in this movie. Yeah,
exactly. Like, they're still... Oh, my God. My headcanon is that Vince let the yearning slip. He's just like, yeah, no, I've been watching. He's letting him know. I see you, babe. I see you from across the airwaves. And I know what you're up to with your dirty, stinky, nasty giant. And, like, God, it's so gross. All that being said, we get Hikuchi. Yay! Being awesome. Loves it. The Karate Kid comes out, and now he's firmly in heel territory. I hope Hikuchi just gets to beat his ass. Vince says they have similar styles, and I'm about done already.
Yeah.
The martial arts, if you will. Jesus Christ.
Yep. Hikuchi, by the way, definitely looking like Big Match Goto, if you're familiar with that reference.
I am not, but I hope it pleased so many of our listeners.
Yeah. All of the fellow New Japan stands. Let me, you go ahead and start doing your notes while I look this up.
Oh, yeah, you're on it. I like how it's working. Razor gets on the phone and calls Vince McMahon again, and I admit I'm going to miss that shit. Every fucking time, McMahon. Just commitment to the bit is one of my all-time favorite things, and fuck Scott Hall forever, but he got that. Oh, I'm seeing an image. Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah, I'm seeing how that I adore everything about this. That, well, now I have a new favorite New Japan wrestler. Cool. I love when that happens.
Oh, well, I've introduced you to a world of disappointment if Goto's gonna be one of your favorites.
Awesome.
He's famous, like, Goto's a fine wrestler, but he is famous for just never, like, winning the big matches.
That's alright. Everyone's got a jobber to the stars. You know, Hikuchi was hanging with Horowitz. You know, like, he learned from the best.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Hikuchi, though, gets going into a slow burner of a match, rolls into the awesome dropkick and, like, arm drag into a rest hold, and I'm like, yes. And, like, as soon as I'm getting into this, Marty Jannetty comes running out, trying not just, desperately.
Not just Marty Jannetty, a rare leather jacket Marty Jannetty.
Yes.
Only a 1 in 9,000 chance of those showing up.
Yeah, I got a shiny once. I still keep it in a sleeve. In case podcasting just really doesn't work out, you know, gotta sell that. But we come back and, like, he does this thing. They go to commercial with him getting carried out. Tassel-less Marty Jannetty can't hold my attention for long. The match isn't terrible. It's pretty great. Waltman does his little karate moves. Gets a kick in, and it just loses many points.
there was some pretty obviously fake crowd sound during it, though.
Oh yeah, I try to keep an eye out for the mouths not matching. Sometimes you can catch it. Sneaky hobbitses. How dare. They're fucking with history. I hate it. But at the same time, I guess someone's got to make Sean look good. Hikuchi kicks out of Sean's terrible frog splash. So I had to take count of that. Does a little tilt-a-roll backbreaker. Everyone can take a little nap for an 8 count. It's an okay match. Hikuchi gets offense and the crowd pops. They love him. It pleases me. Then Vince calls him the modern-day kamikaze, and I'm done being pleased.
There were signs.
Tapping the sign, folks. We got there. We got through Nitro at least. I've had to do a signs on Nitro at this point, at one point. That might be a later episode, timey-wimey, recording out of it. You know how this goes. But after an okay match, Ted DiBiase does heel shit. Kid gets a kick in on three, pops up trying to make his mean face while doing the too sweet hand. And I'm just like, God damn it. It's still the click generation.
I do have a note here of Sean going tip to tip with Million Dollar Man.
God. Yeah, you wrote that down.
Sure did.
He sure did.
So I had to read it, you know?
Can't just let it sit there. Everyone else has to get this too. Speaking of Deebs, Deebs does some promo for the kid, Jannetty shows up to jump him, just to get his ass power bombed by well-adjusted Sid, ruler of the world, rest in peace. Pretty brutal one too. And I
It
do like this
looked
little,
gross.
it looked goddamn gross. I do love this little, it's hodgepodge of heels, but it's a fantastic hodgepodge of heels. I'll give them that. It's good stuff. Deebs is fantastic, and I'm not just saying this because he just croaked. I love me some Sid Udy. Like, I always did. Big fan. I recently watched, I forget what it was, but you can find on YouTube an early Skyscrapers match. So Psycho Sid and Dan Spivey before he got Waylon Mercy on us for fans of the pod. And these guys, like local dudes, try to shoot on him, and they just fucking, it's brutal. Like if you ever wonder if you could shoot power bomb somebody, you can if you're Sid Udy and Dan Spivey. You can do it like 10 times. Like if they do, they just fucking destroy these chumps, and like I don't blame them. Like you did the one thing you're not supposed to do. Like, and if you do that, we reserve the right to power bomb you like 10 times.
You got it. Like, when fans try to shoot on wrestlers, especially during the live events where they like try to get into the ring, I don't know. I guess there's just not a lot going through their head into the moment, but there's times where you just see like, oh, okay, so this is a wrestler who actually lives for the moments that this happens.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh no, the ones that were, I think there is a famous one with possibly Bulldog where someone tried to get in the ring and he just runs over and just starts stomping his head in. And it's just like, why would you do that? But these weren't fans, these were wrestlers. These were like some local indie guys that they were working at. It was an NWA show. This is how far back it was. It was an
Oh,
NWA,
wow.
like local TV taping. So these weren't fans, these were just guys going into business for themselves, and it like almost right away, and it just it don't the match continues, and it don't go well for them. Man, it's just brutal. So yeah, he Sid, ruler of the world, laid some of that down on Jannetty. Oof. Docs Hendricks, Freebird Michael Hayes in a tasteful purple sweater, kind of blowing my mind. It's sort of short circuit to me. I can't love Michael Hayes, but I can want his clothes. That's where I think that's fair. And balanced. And balanced. We find out Brett is defending at the next In Your House against British Bulldog. He's pretty confident since he beat him at Wembley that one time. And I mean, all he can do is all he has to do is not spend 3 days smoking crack and not sleeping before the match, and Brett can carry him to another victory.
All
Like,
right.
he
Well,
did it once. If you can do it under those circumstances, I suppose you could do it again, just not doing that.
I mean, I've read Bret Hart's book. I believe that Bulldog did still spend the 3 days smoking crack, not sleeping, and
Damn
as such forgot everything about the match that they had laid out beforehand. That's what Bret
it.
claims, anyway.
I mean, that's what he said about Wembley.
Yeah.
I
Absolutely,
was
yeah.
gonna say he's gonna do it again. No, that is a he. I believe the words he used in the book is "I'm fucked." Just like he's gassed immediately. I don't remember shit, and he just literally. After I found that out, I rewatched that match, and maybe we'll do it on the Patreon sometime because it's outside our time span. But I went and rewatched that match. If you pay attention, you can totally see that Brett's like feeding him everything. Like Brett just did the whole match and like just made sure he got through it as best he could. And he was just gassed from the moment he got in the ring, basically.
Wow, Bret Hart is so cool. I wish Calgary were real.
Yeah, right. I wish Calgary were real. I'm happy Stu Hart isn't real. That would be terrifying. But I
Yeah,
wish
I would be
Calgary
afraid.
were real. Yeah. And Helen, for that matter. But yeah, fuck it. Then Triple Paul versus Hog in a Pig Pen match, and I need to leave 1995. I need to be
How
done.
many? I know. All right. How many Hogpen matches has WWF put on in the year of
One.
1995? Just the one?
Just the one. It's just they keep alluding to it so goddamned hard that you think it happened several times.
So have I already seen that match then? Like
That was
timey-wimey
at
stuff.
Timey-Wimey.
I don't think I've seen that match yet,
I
but I
no,
feel as though I
I
have.
believe. Ooh, I can't remember if it was Survivor Series or In Your House. Either way, oh God, this is what happens with the Timey-Wimeys. We did it again. Either way, it exists on at Patreon.com slash MNFF pod. It will be there. Whether or not we've done it yet, fuck if we can remember.
Please free us from the eternal hog pen match of 1995 in your
Yeah.
house.
Yeah, that and the teacher drug dealer small karate child arc. I need both these to be done. I'm so over it. Turns out the body Donnas are happening though, so that's cool. Diesel and Sean, yeah, that's what every woo. Got me into the stereotypical wait. Oh God, what? No, my notes went fucky. I
Oh
had a
no.
thought. I had a thought, and I saw where it was going, and then it stopped going because my notes went fucky. And I'm just gonna give up that thought. Podcasting. Skip Candido versus Savio Vega. I'm into this. So, see that easy, folks. I'm not
Yeah.
even gonna edit it out. You get it raw. This is raw, live in Richmond. Welcome, everyone. but first, Raw QVC, denim jackets. Woo.
So, which was your favorite of the denim jackets?
I took some notes here. I think I got to admit I'd rock the Bret Hart one with the sleeves cut off and some spikes
Ooh.
added. At the end of
Oh.
the
Yeah,
See,
that would definitely.
I have me the punk vest. I love me a denim punk vest, and that Bret Hart one is like that's I see a canvas. It's like that's a start.
For sure. I think I was favoring the Undertaker one. I think that one looked pretty good too.
That was also pretty solid. I'm just not that goth. Maybe someday. Oh, you're sending me a picture to remind
Yeah.
me. Yeah, no, that shit is pretty solid. God
Yeah.
damn.
Now I am back off. We can both
Yeah.
agree that the diesel one is a hard pass, though.
Oh yeah, no. Why, God, why? No, why would anyone do that to themselves? Even in the 90s, Jesus. By the time we get into the match proper, though, Skip seems to have already gotten a strap down, so he's moving along quickly. that's seems to be Candido's thing. Is like that's how he times matches. Match is cooking along. Diesel comes out for some reason, looking like a second unit director on an early 90s horror movie.
That's solid. That's solid. I have
Yeah,
written
give the
here
read.
Nash serving in the Dan Flash's polo, leather
Yeah.
jacket, WWF hat, and fanny pack.
Fan-fucking-tastic. Yeah, exactly. But buy the fit. Or, don't. Distracting us, though, from Candido going over the top rope and straight up face planting like a boss on the outside. They didn't deserve him,
No.
is where I'm. They did not deserve Chris Candido. What the fuck? It's just over now. Like, he just did this great thing, and Diesel's like, I'm done. I'm taking the mic. I'm gonna spew a bunch of bullshit and
Is there a
convince
song?
everyone, is this on? I booked this to be on. And you convince us that he's happy he lost. but
Quote from a man who sounds very happy.
yeah, local man says don't put in paper he's unhappy with his loss. He's very happy. But then he does something cool, and this is kind of like the besides the first real head to head, this is one of the first instances of me going attitude. Nash calls Vince out specifically for trying to make him into a corporate character, basically giving away the game that Vince is head of creative
Yeah.
in 1995. on Raw. I had no idea that happened. Like, what? And apparently corporate told him to smile more, and I said, get used to it, honey. He's using this opportunity to claim some oppression and try to reboot his character.
We've got to get word to Kevin Nash about this. He could be taking more credit for the Attitude Era. And
he, like, really kind of could. Yeah.
And it baffles me that he wouldn't if he...
Yeah, you think he would be on that shit. Like, and like the whole promo gave me early NWO vibes. He ended it with, whether you like, love me or hate me, it's the way it's going to be. I'm back. And I was like, that sounds a lot like whether you like it or you don't like it. It's the hottest thing going. And I was like, that's all right. We're seeing the beginnings of that outsidery shit. And I'm so ready because 95 has sucked. So, right. So yeah, this first live Raw is in fact pretty fucking wild. They're getting fucky with kayfabe. Wasn't expecting it. Vince makes a point to say anything can happen on Raw live. And it's like, well, like it's always been that way. And it's like, no, dude, Eric just said that same thing. Someone probably told you, like, we are literally off to the fucking races now. Mm-hmm. They're really trying. They're both laid it on thick this week, understandable.
We're definitely going to see that, like, Vince is really trying to retool the show around, like, the live angle and the unpredictability, because that's exactly where our main event of the night is going to end up going.
Yeah, basically. We get there. They get us a little bit of a look back at Survivor Series. So Survivor Series did already happen. I think the Hogpen match happened. I think we solved that. Timey-wimey. Cannabis is a hell of a drug. So, Kama and Undertaker are starting to rekindle their thing. Pretty cool. They threaten us with Brother Love next week, and that's okay. I mean, look, dude, I have a hard time with Blush 2, but Jesus. Like, just learn. Watch a YouTube video, Bruce. Fuck me. It's everywhere.
I have it in my notes here. YouTube was not invented yet in 1995.
Yeah,
so that's going to be rough for him.
Yeah, he's not contouring at all. So actually a fair amount of signs this week at Raw outside of the Brother Love, you know, signs of the apocalypse. There's some fat shaming at Yokozuna, one that said Jerry the King Lawler, and then a bunch of fine print that I couldn't read, but I'm assuming it's just a list of his crimes, trying to get it over the airwaves however he can.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but overall the people still love him, yeah.
Speaking of Jerry Lawler's crimes... Do you have this in your notes?
Perchance. Which one?
During the Shawn versus Owen match, Jerry the King Lawler drawing attention to Tony Randall marrying a woman 50 years his junior.
Yes, saying, I saw this.
And saying, he's my new hero.
Yeah, that's a thing he did. That is a thing he fucking did. I think you ought to shut the fuck up for someone who's, like, at that point, 2 years out from dodging jail time for grooming underage girls in Memphis. Like, that was 2 years ago. Shut the fuck up, you dumbass. Like, and, you know, shut the fuck up and by redacted. It's redacted hard, repeatedly. Via, I don't know, Coca-Cola and a Santa Claus. Those are the things he's into, and it's not weird at all. It's fucking normal. God, his TikTok, or not, his Instagram is horrifying. I'm literally got distracted thinking about how fucking much I hate Jerry the King Lawler. God damn it. Podcasting is hard, okay?
I have no notes on the actual match between Shawn and Owen, because that just dropped a bomb on, like, my ability to focus on wrestling. I was just like, what the fuck
did that was like the dude Heil Hitlering on Nitro. I was like, I had to fucking hop off for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my next thing is my rage subsides as Shawn hits a huge flying clothesline. So, you know, I gotcha. After hitting the ropes, and I love wrestling, so it's still there. It's like, okay, quick, make me forget. Please make me forget. He kips up, hits the whole sequence again, clearly, like, shawning up. Power slam, hits a huge elbow off the top for two. He sends Owen into the turnbuckles, and Owen takes the Brett bump into the fucking like chest first into the thing so hard that it shakes, and it's like, I love it. I'm easy. I know it's silly, but I love that he just takes his brother's shit. It's a good gimmick.
It is.
It's fucking great. I'm not gonna steal your shit. I'm gonna be better at it. All the way down to how I take hits. Fucking awesome. Sean is thinking super kick, but Owens makes him drag him out of the corner to get an enziguri, and suddenly the match is cooking again. Yeah, fucking love his enziguri. Fuck Antonio Inoki. Yes, I said it. I didn't really mean that. I'm just trying to be edgy. Forgive me. Please be gentle. Bunch of reversals. Sean goes for an O'Connor roll. Owen throws him off, so Sean just clotheslines him to the outside instead. And skins the cat, and like everyone's getting shit in. Let's go. We have full getting shit in momentum. And then suddenly Sean collapses, and I realize what day it is. And I realize where we are. So I went, Corny talks to Owen in the corner. They seem confused. Ref starts yelling to the unconscious Sean. And we see Vince get in the ring as they go to commercial. And I realize that this is that Nitro or that Raw. Holy shit. So, like, this is, folks who aren't aware, this is like one of the legendary bits of storylining. They're going to start playing up chronic fucking concussion symptoms, basically. God damn it. But that's what they're doing, and it's not in bad taste at all. But they basically go, yeah, he does a stretcher job. They're putting him on oxygen. This is the rest of the fucking show, basically.
Yeah,
it's an angle I heard of, but this is the first time I've seen it.
Yeah, and they go for the like authenticity. Like the show basically has ground to a halt. Like commentary isn't really happening.
They go to another commercial at the planned time. You know what I mean? Like, and it just seems like they're trying to get it over with while like it's just there. Yeah, it really. And again, with like that attitude era shit, like they just all of a sudden it just everything became real. And not knowing it was coming and not having ever like seen it before in context, it worked. Like, holy fuck, it worked for me. Okay. You know, they go live for the first time of the war, and then Sean passes out from a possible traumatic brain injury. Like, that, it's fucked up, but yeah, no, holy shit, I can see why you do that. Like, that's a hell of a way to be like, anything can happen. Vince, I wrote down, looks kind of annoyed at one point, and I'm like, okay, sure, signs. Did someone sneeze? Did someone try to unionize? What happened? Like, he all of a sudden he looks pissed. They keep showing us concerned fans, Pat Patterson trying to get him talking, and like another commercial, and it's just the end of the fucking show. And yeah, that felt like a game changer Raw, like a drastic shift in direction. Like, fuck, holy fuck. But yeah, that was Raw, and like it just ended, and I kind of like, I don't know, I'm feeling it now just going over it. It was just very like air out of the room.
Yeah,
and like, holy fuck, what's gonna happen next week? And like, it's on, it is so on. We have a war.
We have a war. We have a dog in a little cowboy suit with cow print.
We have Mongo mooing into commercial break.
We do. This is the podcast.
This is it. This is what this is now. It's a Mongo podcast. We're going to be changing it to Mongo Night Fake Fights.
Mongo Night Fake Fights. Oh, that's the name of the episode.
No. I'm sticking with the grapes. That shit was too fucking good.
Okay.
Viva Brazil. Yeah, so match of the week then. I think we kind of accidentally called it earlier. I'm going to go ahead and say the surprise Brian and Eddie was just, how could it be anything but that?
it's kind of a thing. It's like, the challenge at this point going forward will be like, do a match of the week that wasn't a match that Eddie Guerrero was in.
Yep. Nope, that's where we're at. We've entered that era of the cast. So get ready, folks. It's going to get weird. But now, this is probably the first time this has happened, for me at least. As far as who won this week, I'm having trouble. It's not clear to me who won this week. Both shows were kind of bangers, in different ways. But, like, both felt really, like, like, holy fuck in a lot of ways, but I think I gotta give it to Raw because they had a weird fucked up ending that didn't involve the Dungeon of Goon. So I'm gonna give it to Raw on that alone.
Yeah, I don't know about you. Raw's ending is like, it's transgressive in a way we had not seen either company be yet.
No, certainly. Exactly. It was like, who would have thought to do that? You know, outside of maybe Fritz von Erich pretending to have a heart attack that one Christmas after all of his kids already died and people were like, you know what, we're done with you. fucking cut it out, Fritz. Like, you can't scare us like that. No, that Raw did, like, legit, like you said, transgress. It felt game changing. It felt like a game changer. It was the first, like, oh shit, wow, this didn't all the way suck. Like, or even, like, suck even that much of a little bit. Outside of, you know, Jerry Lawler being a piece of shit and Vince McMahon giving us signs. Which, whatever, that's, we signed up for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, fucking A. Holy shit.
Yeah, I would think, if you want to look at, like, the quality of the wrestling on the show, I think I would give that to Nitro this week. But if you want to look at, like, what like had the bigger impact on the Monday Night War, I think you gotta give it to Raw.
Yeah, fucking A. Yeah, no, it really did it. Like, that's like the starter. That's one that I've really been looking forward to, like, finally getting together for this episode, which we have done now. We did it. We have reached the end, because I remember I was like, oh wait, this is like a good one. Like, this is like an important one. I don't want to just like reschedule Silent to a different episodes, because like this is banger shit. I'd like, let's do banger shit. So I'm happy we made it work. Thank you for making it back.
Thank you. I hope it will be easier to for me to like show up
in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, shit. Life happens. That's why I'm always looking for people to, you know, be around. I'll talk to fucking anybody. I think we might have our first sis sometime down the line here, which feels a little weird, but I'm gonna go with it. I might be able to vouch for the, but that will be strange in its own right. But yeah, fucking hey, anything you want to promo, Silent, before I ramble at the good sickos?
Not especially. I haven't been using Blue Sky as much because turns out the stuff that's keeping me from doing this show is also, like, I'm just not posting as much. Hoping that I will be, I come on, I take a look, I see that discourse is happening, and I log off.
Yeah, no, touching grass is what, I've been touching much grass. I definitely think everyone should try it. I like to grow my own herbal medicine so that every day I have to touch a little bit of grass, just as part of gardening. You know, it's very good. It's good for the soul, and it gets you high. So thank you so much for hanging out, and thank you folks for listening. You can find us on the Blue Sky still. If you can swim through the discourse, I'll be in my bunker at mnffpod.bsky.social. I still haven't updated the Instagram. You can't make me at mnffpod. And if you want to join, you can join the Patreon, which does get updated weekly. Except for today, it's Labor Day. I got my Union Mac man. patreon.com/mnffpod. Otherwise, oh, also merch. I keep forgetting merch. We have merch, and I did a new one after Sephiroth posting. Erica last week, our Pure Resu correspondent, informed us that Japan, New Japan in the 90s has their own Biggest Boy. So we have the Macho Man Randy Savage Biggest Boy t-shirt. And now we also have the Kensuke Sasaki Biggest Boy in Japanese t-shirt. So, you know, it's expanding. We're franchising. Every promo gets their own Biggest Boy. So check that out at garrixmid.store. I said what I said. Otherwise, we will see you next week for more Raw versus Nitro on Mongo Night Fake Fights. Bye!
Hasta la próxima semana!